Read God's word as we find it first of all in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we shall read verses 1 to 11. And then in Luke chapter 10. First of all in John chapter 15 from verse 1. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And if we turn now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and we shall read verses at the end of that chapter. It's a passage we're going to focus on later. John chapter 10, from verse 38, following on from the illustration, the parable of the Good Samaritan. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May God bless to us these readings from his word. Now let us turn in our Bibles to the passage we read in Luke chapter 10, and we shall read at verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, that's to Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This week was my first week of a chore that I dread for the whole summer, and that is gardening. I got the mower out because I was scarifying the lawns, and I thought, well, I'll rather than start raking and raking and raking, I'll just suck it up into the mower. So I got the mower out and I plugged it into the garage and I got to it and I tried it and it did not work. So I went back and I thought I hadn't switched it on, but it was switched on at the plug, but the plug wasn't plugged in properly. I had dragged the cable, so I pushed it back in, went to the mower, and still the mower wouldn't work. It's the third mower I've had since I retired. And I was really getting at the makers and I was getting quite distracted. And just before I gave it a final kick, it dawned on me that there was a safety switch on the mower. And once I pushed the safety switch and I pulled the handles, away it went. Plugged in, switched on, could have been the heading of what I've called vital necessity. Plugged in, switched on, spiritually. This is the issue. Are we plugged in? Are we switched on? Now, we look at this, what confronts us in a home in Bethany. There is real tension there. Two sisters are seen and they're offering hospitality. They've both been involved in the preparation and now one of them has decided to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Martha, the other one, who expected the full support of Jesus, brings her outburst to Jesus and finds herself speaking to someone who is saying something to her that contradicts what she thought he might say to her. And you might wonder, well, why does this passage come here? It's the only place in the New Testament where we have this passage recorded. And it comes to us directly after the parable of the Good Samaritan. And some commentators maintain that Luke is following a kind of themes as he goes along, and that this is directly related to what he has been speaking about when he has told the story of the Good Samaritan. That here is a kind of balance. What kind of balance? Well, really, sometimes we misunderstand the Samaritan illustration. Because we think sometimes that as long as we go out and if we give compassionate service, which we have to, after all, Jesus has said, give the cup of cold water in my name. But what does it mean, in my name, as opposed to any other name? Can we be involved sometimes by loving our neighbor in such a way that we make it do service for loving the Lord our God? Do we separate these two commandments in such a way that really what matters is the social impact we make for the gospel? Is that what really matters? J.B. Phillips, who translated the New Testament, really paraphrased it on occasions, in one of his introductions to his translation of one of the epistles, he wrote this: Christianity is only seriously considered in many quarters because of its social implications. We used to call it, when we used to be very critical of liberal theologians, we used to call it the social gospel. Now, the social gospel is part of the gospel. The social gospel was part of what Jesus did. But the difficulty is when we are not switched on and when we are not plugged in. And that's what Jesus is speaking of here when he says the one thing needful. Only one thing is needed, Jesus is saying. The vital necessity in all our social outreach, in all that we do, it is very important. When I came to Inverness here many, many years ago, when I preached for the first time in the East Church, Our lady there was converted, and she was faithful in that congregation for several years. And then a neighbor was in hospital, and I noticed she wasn't there on a Wednesday night. And she came to me, and she explained that Wednesday night was when her neighbor, old neighbor, had no visitors. She needed to be there. And that was fine. That neighbor passed away. But she slipped away. She never came back to the prayer meeting. She was never involved in the way she had been before. And several years later, when overtaken by the dreaded disease, she spoke to me from her deathbed of how these blessed years in the early years, how blessed they were to her, and how the missed opportunities of her life were galling her in her last days. The difficulties of distractions. It isn't wrong to go to hospital to visit a lonely old man. But in doing that, do we neglect the spiritual side of our lives? Do we stay plugged in? Do we stay switched on? That's the real issue. Three things that we're going to look at today about this vital necessity. First of all, the contrast that is portrayed here. The contrast between the two sisters. And the first one we may look at is Martha's dedication, which is focused where? On serving Christ. Look at the provision she made. She has welcomed him into her home, unlike what we find in chapter 9 of this book at verse 52. He sent messengers on ahead who went into the Samaritan villages and to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. But Martha is welcoming him into her home. Martha is not doing the same as the church at Laodicea, which seemed, if you read it, to have shut the door in Jesus' face. Now that's some wow, is it? That Jesus' own church could shut the door in Jesus' face. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And it's a message to our church, the Laodicean church. So here we have someone who is open to Jesus and has allowed Jesus and welcomed him into her home. But her preoccupation, where is her dedication focused? Her dedication is focused on the preparations she's making. She's more concerned with the baked Alaska that's in the oven than she is with the guest she has welcomed into the home. Sometimes we can be doing things in such a way that our dedication can be orientated towards ourselves. Jesus did not say, if you give a cup of cold water in your own name. He did not say, if you give a cup of cold water in the name of your congregation. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about our devotion being focused where Mary's devotion is. Focused on relating to Christ. Because that's where she is. Mary is sitting at the feet of Christ. We are given insight into what Mary is doing. Why is she there? Because she, first of all, appreciates the presence of Christ. Where does Christ promise to meet us? Well, he meets us through his word, doesn't he? That's where he met the two on the way to Emmaus, wasn't it? He started teaching them from Isaiah's prophecy on the way towards Emmaus. So engagement with God's word, we meet Jesus as we our devotion is focused upon his word. But we also meet Jesus when we meet together in his name. Because he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. So really, we call them the means of grace. And we are to use the means of grace, and we are to attend the means of grace. And when we attend the means of grace, we attend them prayerfully. How many of us spent 10 minutes in praying for this meeting here today? How many of us were on our knees and saying, Lord, please help that old man who's going to lead our service today and grant that we will meet with you in the meeting that we have? Is that really, how much time do we give in that kind of preparation? So here we have then, first of all, there is an appreciation by Mary of Christ's presence. Who did we come to church today to meet? Did we come to meet with Jesus? But also there is not only appreciation of his presence, the appreciation that brought Ruth to say to Naomi, I'm going with you. Because wherever you're going, I want to be there. Why? Because I want to be in fellowship with the living God who has visited Bethlehem and is blessing people in Bethlehem. So there we have the appreciation of his passion. But there is also the appetite for his word. Why is she sitting there? She's sitting there listening to Jesus. Luke, when he wrote the Acts of the Apostles, wrote this about a certain people. He said, now the Bereans, they were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. And they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. In one of my congregations, after a Bible study prayer meeting, someone went in to see an old lady. She lived on her own. And there she was in the chair, her Bible opened, her hat still on as she had come in from the meeting. She didn't even have time to take it off because she wanted to see what she was in, what was in the Word of God. And actually, she had passed on to glory. That's a way to go, isn't it? Appreciating his presence, having an appetite for his word. That's the contrast that is portrayed here. A preoccupation and a distraction. A dedication that is misplaced. A devotion that sits at the feet of Jesus. The next thing we see is criticism. The criticism presented. Because she comes and she speaks to Jesus. And she is speaking to Jesus as if really it was Jesus' fault. She is rebuking Jesus because she is saying, do you not care? Do you not care about what my sister is doing to me? Do you remember when the disciples were caught in the storm and they really got upset in the storm and Jesus is sleeping? And instead of saying, well, if he is able to sleep in this, we must be okay. But instead of saying that, what do? They wake him up and they say, do you not really care? And don't you and I get involved like that? Do we not find something that some other people seem to be doing so well and we are really getting it in the neck and things are difficult for us and we're just wondering, does he really care about me? Does he not see the difficulties? That is the rebuke that she is issuing here. Now, most commentators believe that Mary may have been active in making preparations beforehand, and that no, the preparations had preoccupied Martha to such an extent that she has really, really become distracted, and that she is rebuking Jesus here. This situation in which I find myself distressed and tested beyond that which I'm able to bear is one to which you, Jesus, are totally indifferent. The necessities of hospitality, they were there. Jesus would acknowledge them. Some people have said, you know, it would have been fine if there had been more of Martha and Mary and more of Mary and Martha. Have you ever heard that? I've heard it from two preachers anyway. Well, I'm going to say something. Poppycock. Why? Because Jesus did not say that. What's he saying here? He's saying, Martha, Martha. He is speaking to her because, really, the request she is making is implying that Jesus is wrong, Mary is wrong, Martha is right. You know how difficult it is to say to someone, especially in your own family and in your own house, you know, you were right and I was wrong. Maybe you find it easier than some of us may. But you know, she is really saying, Jesus and Mary, you'd better align yourself with me. Is that the way it has to be? No, it isn't. You know and I know that we have to be in our distractions and in our frustrations, that we have to be pulled back. And that sometimes we have, as the disciples did on the eve of the crucifixion, that we have to say, is it I? Am I the one really with a plank in my eye that is so critical of the other person who's got the speck in his eye? Is that the way it is? The criticism of rebuke and the request that she is making. The request, deal with her. I've been trying hard, we say, for years to serve the Lord, and there's someone who seems to be doing very little, and they're getting on so well, and I'm up against it. Please change things. Please change things. You know, Paul said, please change things. I have a thorn, he was saying, Lord, please change things. And the Lord said to him, I'll give you the grace to uphold you. I'll give you the help to carry you through. And that's what I'm going to do for you. Whatever I'm doing for anybody else, that's their business. That's what we have to say often. That's what I have to say even when I've changed denominations recently. Because Peter, when he started saying to Jesus, Peter is saying, what about John? What's John going to do? And Jesus said, what's that to you? You mind your own business and you do what I want you to do. And there are many times when we are distracted, don't we look around for scapegoats? And God is saying to us, look, focus where your focus ought to be. And that's the third point we have today. It's not only the contrast and the criticism, but the correction. What's the correction? Well, Jesus is focusing on Martha. Martha, Martha, he's saying. I read a poem some time ago. It's really a kind of ditty. And it's about driving. And it's about driving on our roads. Listen to it. You watch the guy who drives ahead. You watch the guy who drives behind. You have to use your mirrors. You watch to the left, you watch to the right, and drive with a calm, clear mind. But the guy you really have to watch on the highway, you will find, is the guy behind the guy ahead. and the guy ahead of the guy behind. Does the penny drop? That's where the road rage starts. And that's where the road rage has to be dealt with. In that place. For the problem is personal. And there is a priority that is essential. The only one thing is needed, Jesus is saying. A passionate worship in fellowship with the Son of God. This is Jesus' assessment of the priority. Why? Because this is what God made us for in the first place. That we should have fellowship with him. And so he fashioned us out of the dust, which we have in common with the whole of the biological world. But he breathed into us the very image that would enable us to walk with him in fellowship, and gave us a dignity that biology could never give us, despite his creativity at which we marvel. But he made us so that as we are loved, we might love him too. And that's what we were made for. And that is what the vital issue really is. That's what being plugged in and switched on. Mary has chosen something, and that choice is never going to be desolate. Why? Because it's a forever choice. It's a forever choice. Mary has chosen. It will never be taken away from her. So all our baked Alaskas and all our that we have done that is not done in line with our relationship with Jesus, even in the fellowship of Christ's people, we have to be plugged in, switched on. Priority. And finally, there is progress here. Because if you go on from this incident on to a final meeting, in which we have in John chapter 11 a tragedy in this home in Bethany, and Lazarus has died. Jesus wasn't there when he died. At least they thought he wasn't. Though miles and miles away, Jesus has said to his disciples, you know, Lazarus is going to be okay. He's sleeping. And they thought, oh, he's sleeping. Oh, well, that's good. He'll be rested. No, no, he said. He's dead. And so Jesus came to that scene. And what do we find in verse 21? What's this woman Martha saying in John 11, 21? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. True. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. There's a statement. But even now, even when things have gone totally beyond my control or anyone's control, I know that you have control there. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. And as if to underline that growing faith in Martha and that element of being plugged in and switched on in Martha's life, we find in verse 27 of that same chapter that she says after he has spoken to her, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Martha's priority changed. And with the change came the cure to her distraction. Gone is the spirit that preoccupied her before. The spirit that wants to crush those who sit in devotion to Christ. And who seem to be having an easier time than we're having. So often we're so sure that we're right. And you and I need to turn and have a look, not at the guy who's driving ahead, nor a glance at the guy who's driving behind. but asking. As Jesus said to Simon, Simon, do you really love me? Do you really appreciate what I'm saying to you? Do you really have an appetite for my word? A contrast, a criticism, a correction. Let us pray.